Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Draft Smashers Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Anthony Aniano, and as always, on a Wednesday night, 7:30 Eastern Time, my partner, colleague, and co-host, also from DraftSmashers.com, Mr. Eric Corsini. Eric, Wednesday, February 18th. How are you, my friend?
Very good. Very good. Excited to be on the radio again. Ready to talk some fantasy sports, some baseball, pretty much all baseball tonight, right?
All baseball tonight. Pitchers and catchers started today. We are 47 days away from opening day. I got my notification from my television provider that my MLB package will be automatically renewed unless I send them an email saying not to.
I love automatically renewing.
Yeah, they get you every time with that one.
At least they warned you.
They did warn me. They did warn me. Now the decision is, do I want to pay that bill? But I probably will, like I always do. Only because I'm too lazy to send the email to cancel the subscription.
It's like a gym membership. You can't get rid of it.
Exactly. A lot going on. I want to remind everybody the phone lines are open. 347-838-8088. That's 347-838-8088. Chat room is open as well. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, inquiries, or just plain old babble, jump on the chat room and join us there. Follow us, rotoballer.com, Steel Scorpion Sports for your fantasy football needs. And I don't even want to say our sponsor now, the host site for our show now, draftsmashers.com. Couple of issues there for a little while. We were online, we were offline, but we are up and running. We're operating. Few little glitches like any new, you know, website that comes along, but we're up and running. Free roller is up. Articles are up for baseball that I've written, and you could register now, draftsmashers.com. Make sure you check it out. I look over at Eric. Eric's having some serious technological issues today, but he's on an iPad that's probably operating at the speed of a 95-year-old with a walker, but he's plugging away. He types like a bear. He's got, geez, it's embarrassing. But it's up and running, draftsmashers.com. Go there. Registration's on the bottom. Put in your name, put in your email, and you're all done. So make sure you go there and check that out. All right, Eric, we got a lot going on. We got a lot to talk about tonight. And the first thing I want to do before we get into it all is thank everybody who's following us on Twitter. My Twitter, DraftSmash Radio. Eric, where can they follow you as of right now?
Just Eric Corsini at eCourse 8.
At eCourse 8. I know you're going to be tinkering with that in a little while.
Maybe playing around with that.
Maybe change that up a little bit, make it a little easier to find.
I tried doing it on the iPad.
It's
impossible.
It's like an abacus. The thing moves so slow, that iPad. It's embarrassing is what it is. But whatever, we'll keep you around anyway.
But the website looks great on the iPad, though.
The website does look great on the iPad. Lots of great stuff there. You know, you got to make sure you go to the free roll finder on there. Our Twitter handles are there. There's a link to the Draft Smash Radio. All different daily league sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA. BJ Vanderwaard, one of the founders of the site, he's going to be doing a lot of PGA. Eric, you're going to be doing a lot of NBA. I've got MLB covered. We have weekly MMA games. The free roll finder is great. If you're into looking for those on the daily sites, make sure you check that out. Now, here's what we're going to do tonight. On Monday evening, we sent out a few tweets, and we set up a mock draft on Yahoo.com. And I want to thank people. We had a good turnout in that draft. The draft room was full. I'm not going to say everybody was through us, but a good number of the people were through Draft Smash Radio. They jumped in, and it was fun. Great conversation in the chat room on the mock site. And I want to take a look at that mock draft, Eric, because there was some very interesting things that went on, and people experimented, and that's the whole point of a mock draft is to experiment. Me, myself, I wanted to see how long I could go before I drafted my number one starter and how solid an offense I can load up. So I want to get your take on my team. I want to look at your team, and then we're going to look at the draft as a whole because there were some interesting picks. Now, I sat there at the fifth pick overall, and with the fifth pick overall, I was able to grab Paul Goldschmidt. Very excited by that.
It's a good pick at five.
Okay. Josh Donaldson in round two, Ian Desmond in round three, D. Gordon at second base for round five. So by the fifth round, my infield was set. I had a nice combination, I thought, of power and speed. Goldschmidt, Donaldson, Desmond's a 20-20 guy at the minimum, D. Gordon at second base. Outfield, I went Corey Dickerson in round four. Maybe a little bit of a reach, but outfielders were flying off the board. Alex Gordon in round six, I'm nervous about that wrist surgery. Who knows what's going to happen? And in my third outfielder, I didn't grab to round 12. Rookie, second-year guy out of Pittsburgh, super talent. Was a bit of a disappointment last year when he came up, Gregory Polanco. Took some other outfielders late, like Lorenzo Cain.
Mm-hmm.
I took Evan Gattis as my catcher in the ninth round. He's not even going to be catching for Houston, so I like the fact he'll be playing every day. Waited on starting pitching, wanted to see how long I could last. Seventh round is where I made my move, grabbed my first starting pitcher, took Matt Harvey in round seven, Sonny Gray in round eight as my two aces. And I'll be honest with you, Eric, I'm fine with that.
Right. In that same round that you drafted Sonny Gray, I was looking at him a couple picks after where you took him. So I like that pick a lot.
I mean, he's the number one starter on Oakland.
Yeah, and then Harvey, you can't go wrong and see what his situation is, though. But you have to take him by round seven because of the potential there. So, I mean, I like those two first picks. Sonny Gray probably right now is your ace. Matt Harvey has potential to be
by far
1A.
One by a margin.
Right.
I took Tyson Ross of San Diego. Nice strikeout rate.
I was looking at him, too. We had, the same mindset.
Yeah, Tyson Ross
annoying.
In round 10. I took the fireballer Yordani Ventura in round 13. I went a little early on James Paxton, and we're going to talk about him, but I like James Paxton.
You loved
a lot.
Him last year.
I did.
You loved him last year.
Opened his first start of the season, he struck out 12.
Right.
He got hurt. In August, he pitched to a 1.65 ERA when he came back. Talented kid, probably the third starter in Seattle on an improved Seattle team. So I look at a starting staff of Matt Harvey, Sonny Gray, Tyson Ross, Yordani Ventura, James Paxton, Jake Odorizzi, and Taijuan Walker. Now, where I kind of hurt a little bit, I really waited on closers, which is a big philosophy of mine. And closers were flying off the board, in my view, way too early. And I really didn't adjust. I hung tight.
I think too many went too fast. So it kind of threw me off, too, and I just took other guys.
Yeah. I took Hector Rondon of the Cubs in round 16 and Henry Mejia of the Mets in round 18. Mejia may not even hold the job. Bobby Parnell, they're still
right.
saying, is the closer.
Well, I took Parnell at some point.
At some point. I mean, he's going to start 18. The season on the DL, but he's eventually
right,
going to close.
Yeah.
I got Mike Minor late as late insurance for the starting staff. And my take of the whole situation here is you can wait on starting pitching.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, even for me, I mean, I took my first starter in round four, which was Johnny Cueto. My first three picks were offensive players, and I had the first pick of the draft. So I took Trout, obviously, and then I took often injured Tulowitzki, and then Michael Brantley.
What round did you get Brantley?
Well, first pick of the third round. See, but he's not going to be there for me when I pick again.
Yes.
So you know what I mean? Like, it's probably higher than I would have taken him.
He came off a terrific season
right.
last year.
But I'm saying for me, it was probably higher than I would have taken him. But if you think about it, I have another 23 or 20.
Not going to be
he's
there.
Not
he's
not going to be
there. He's gone, absolutely.
So if I like that player enough, I've got to take him even with that pick. It's not like it's a bad pick.
He's a very good player.
You know, I knew it was a mock draft. I took Tulowitzki just for the fact that, you know, him and Trout combination could be a deadly offense. If they both, you know, Trout will stay on the field, but Tulowitzki will probably play 100 games. So later in the draft, I took obviously some insurance on that. I took Starlin Castro, which I thought was a steal in round 10.
We talked about it after the draft. Starlin Castro round.
I mean, he's a starter. He's
in hindsight?
Yeah.
You took Tulowitzki at the end of round two.
Right. And I took Castro at the end of round, I guess, wrap around.
When I look at who went after, knowing, you know, hindsight always being 20-20,
yeah.
right?
Could
when you could have grabbed Jacoby Ellsbury.
Right.
Who went a few picks later.
Well, there's other players. I didn't think a guy like Starr and Castro would be on the board till round 10.
Right. If you had known Castro would be there in round 10.
I would have taken a handful of other guys.
Over Tulowitzki in round 2. Absolutely. Yep.
And then I end up taking Cueto in round 4, and then Julio Tehran in round 6, and Samardzija in round 7 to round out my
starting
pitch. Are you
concerned about, as good as Julio Tehran is of Atlanta, Atlanta's not going to be a very good team. They're clearly rebuilding.
You don't chase wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still think his other stats are fine. I don't know. I took a shot in a mock draft. I kind of was, you just take different players and see how it plays out. Is this a team that I love? I don't love it. Because it depends on the draft. And, what threw me off a little bit was, picking first was fine. I picked that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it was 30 seconds a pick.
It was moving.
So sometimes,
it was moving.
I'd make my pick, and then, for some reason, you know it's kind of a mock. And then all of a sudden, I have 8 seconds to pick, and I'm like, all right, I'll go with this guy off the board. So I probably should have been a little more.
That happened to me.
The Lucas Duda pick.
Yes.
What round was that?
I was able to grab Lucas Duda.
Round 15?
In round 15.
Yeah, I was going to pick him. I had him clicked, and then the time ran out. I mean, I got Xander Bogaerts, which is not bad in round 15, to play, third base shortstop also, but I really want to do it because that's 30 home runs in round 15.
But that was the
25 home runs.
I was shocked how power slipped to me in this. Lucas Duda in round 15, Pedro Alvarez in round 21. Now, listen, I'm not a Pedro Alvarez fan. I can't stand
but in round 21. Hello.
You're going to give me 25 home runs in round 21.
Yeah,
you got to grab it.
250. I mean, it's like
that's
a stud.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the league batting average last year was only 260.
Right.
That was the average for the entire league. So essentially, you get a guy who hits 260, he's the league average hitter.
He's an average hitter. Average-wise. Yeah,
now,
average,
Eric, I'm looking at how you went. I loved your round 8 pick of Josh Harrison of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't – statistically, he might not produce like a prototypical third baseman, but he's going to come into the season second, third base, outfield eligible. You love those type of guys.
See, I could slip him into the outfield, though, if I needed to, because I have Todd Frazier at first to third, and Xander Bogaerts is third base eligible also.
Who'd you take at second base?
He could also be my second baseman, because actually he's my only second baseman. I draft him as my second baseman.
So there you
happened.
Go. That's who we did.
Josh Harris, that's right. We did this a couple days ago. I didn't really look at it since. It's a mock.
Masahiro Tanaka at the start around 9. Were you surprised he was still there?
No, because there's a lot of unknowns with his elbow. But in round 9, I'm figuring I could get an ace in round 9. Kind of like how you got Harvey in 7.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey in 7, Tanaka in 9. Those are good spots to get those guys.
Tremendous spots.
Steals to get those guys, especially if they pay off. You know,
mm-hmm.
If both their elbows hold up and you got a guy with Tanaka and Harvey stuff in round 7 and 9, they could put up numbers similar to the guys you got in rounds 2 and 3 or 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
whatever way you want to look at it. So, I liked my Melky pick in round 16. I took two guys late, relief pitchers. They're not closers, but I took Andrew Miller and Wade Davis.
Love them.
So
love them.
We talked about that, and I was thinking about it towards the end of the draft. I said, would I like to have these guys in my lineup on a weekly basis, picking up strikeouts, lowering my ERA?
And
better than a fifth starter? Sure. And then the potential is for them to close baseball games also.
Something happens to Holland. Something happens to Betances. You have both
because
teams
I was
closers.
Weak at closer also, being really that my only closer really
was
Fernando
Rodney.
So I figure, all right, let me take two relief pitchers and roll the dice here. I guarantee you within a couple weeks of the season, somebody's going to lose their closing job and somebody else is going to fill in. I'll have to be hot on the waiver wire.
Right.
If this was a real,
absolutely.
A real team. So.
Now, last round of the draft, round 23, you said why not? Maybe he hits 25 mistakes over the fence, Ryan Howard. And with
round 23, I mean, it's similar to your Pedro Alvarez situation. It's not that different, is it?
Big age difference there.
Yeah, no, but it's a hitter's ballpark in Philly.
I mean, maybe he walks into 25 of them.
He's going to bat 220.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee.
And that's even if he holds the job. I mean, who knows what's going to happen there. But that's
he's
round
cuttable.
23. He's cuttable.
That's
absolutely.
It.
And you look at some of the things. Now, this was interesting. I had somebody else over here at my house for this mock draft, and we were saying we could have kept going. It was a 23-round mock.
Yeah.
And just to talk about some of the talent that went in round 23, okay? Brandon Crawford, Estrubel Cabrera, Curtis Grandison. I took Nick Castellanos of Detroit. Yovani Gallardo, Wilson Ramos, who I love as a starting catcher this year. I absolutely love him.
Yeah.
That he was still there in 23 shocked me. Made me almost regret taking Gattis at 9.
Yeah.
Only thing is, though, Gattis won't be catching, so in theory he'll play more. Matt Garza, LaTroy Hawkins, another closer for Colorado, going at number 11. Dallas Kuchel, probably Houston's opening day starter. He was the very last pick of the draft. And there were a lot of players still on the board after we signed off and walked away. So it was interesting. It was fun. We're going to look to do it again Monday night. I would like to maybe do it every Monday night, Eric, if we could.
Yeah.
You know, schedules permitting. We all have other lives to live. But if we could do it, I think it would be terrific. Now, Eric, I want to look at the first round real quick. Clayton Kershaw went number 4.
Yeah. Right.
Surprise or acceptable to for you? You know me. I don't want the pitcher early.
Nah, it's the only guy, it's the only pitcher you could justify taking in round one. And if Todd, you know, Todd to draft him, if Todd really wanted him, Todd's, you know, take him at 4. You know, I mean, if you want him, go get him.
Go
That's
get
the
him.
Way I look at it. You know, the first round pretty much played out pretty much how I expected it to. There's really not that many surprises in the first round.
Now, what about round two?
Right.
Bryce Harper, 7th pick of the second round. Obviously, that's a projection pick because
right.
his numbers last year don't support that.
Doesn't deserve a second-round pick based off his numbers. If you like him, go get him. I mean, but
would you do it?
Not in round two, not at this point of Bryce Harper's career. I don't know.
I mean, last year he was a first rounder.
Right, but I don't know if he's figured out how to be a major leaguer yet. He's, you know, I don't know if he's known as being an adult yet. He's 21.
Yeah.
You know, and he's, unless he changes his style, he's not going to be on the field for enough games, I think, to justify a second round pick. I don't think he's, I think we talked about this last week. I think his high is like one, like he hasn't played 130 games in like 2 or 3 years.
He's got to learn how to change his style a little bit.
Defensively and stealing base, whatever he does, I mean, he plays hard.
Yeah, he's got to stop running into walls.
Right.
That's for sure.
I mean, if I'm managing them or in the front office, I'm talking to him every day about, we need you on the field. A ball drops in once in a while, it drops in.
Right.
We don't want to miss you for 50 games.
Yeah.
You know? So, and they got a real good team there, man.
That's a ridiculous team. We're going to talk National
League team
next week. But absolutely, that Nationals team, find me a flaw in that team. I challenge you to do so. On paper, that team is absolutely stacked. If Bryce Harper were a Yankee,
yeah.
would they have already retired his number?
No, they probably would have given him probably working on a long-term deal that they, you know, might not live up to.
Now that I want
They're
to
retiring everyone's number.
I've been waiting patiently for tonight for
everyone's
a couple of
number.
Days. Now
you haven't even hinted at it in our conversations.
No, I wanted to blindside you with this.
Yeah. Is this gonna hurt? See, I'm not, I'm not that typical Yankee
no,
fan.
No, you're not. That's why I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. We're gonna talk.
I'm not gonna throw a Yankee temper tantrum right now.
Oh,
I'm not
let me tell you. It was like walking into a room and turning on a light. It was that easy to create the Yankee temper tantrum this week on Facebook. It was so much fun. I had family members, friends.
You lost family members over there.
I might have lost an aunt, absolutely. All I said was that it's nice to see the Yankees embrace their past and give PED user Andy Pettit, and retire PED user Andy Pettit's jersey. What is so inflammatory about me speaking the truth?
There's nothing wrong with what you said. It's probably the only honor he'll get post-career, so...
Oh, come on!
He's not making the Hall of Fame or anything
like that. You might be the only Yankee fan saying that, pal!
Well, his career numbers probably aren't even going
to
be
but the postseason numbers, they get all nipply over the postseason numbers.
I thought those don't even count towards the Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
I don't even know. But I think the guys who write for the whole, you know, the writers, they make up their own rules anyway.
That's very
when
true.
When it comes to voting, so.
That's very true.
Like, you know, the guy who says, I never vote for someone the first time should lose his vote.
Absolutely.
Because how can you justify Randy Johnson not being a first ballot Hall of Famer or Pedro Martinez or all those guys? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
No, let me ask. No, but in all seriousness, right? The Yankees come out this week, and they were just giving out awards like Oprah Winfrey does giveaways on her show. It was absurd.
It was
It was absurd.
I read Pettit, and then like 30 seconds later, there's like 9 more guys listed.
It was who? It was Pettit. It was Bernie.
Posada and Bernie.
All getting numbers retired,
yeah.
And Willie Randolph getting a plaque in Monument Park.
That's a stretch. The guy they passed over as manager, they could have hired him maybe.
Nice player.
He was a good third base coach.
But you have now told me, by retiring these numbers, the Yankees have now told me.
They've immortalized
that Jorge Posada.
I liked Posada, man. He was a
good ball player. Good ball player.
Great hitting catcher. Very, very good
ball player. But they have now put them on the level with Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle.
Do you think Jeter said these guys have to have the numbers retired with me?
I don't know.
They didn't. They won 4 championships together.
Okay. Better catcher, Gary Carter or...
That's
my point. But yet the Yankees are retiring numbers like they know something about the world ending that the rest of the world doesn't know.
Maybe they do.
Maybe they do.
Maybe the Yankee world is over.
Oh, this season it is, that's for sure.
No, I'm saying we're just going to... At this point, we're not really producing much talent, so we're going to immortalize all the talent we did produce.
This is like the WWE Network not focusing on today's product, but constantly talking about the Attitude Era. That's what the Yankees are doing.
Because
their product on the field now is going to be terrible.
First off, the Attitude Era was the best era, and they need to bring it back. They need all those guys back. All of them. Because the PG era is a stain on the history of the WWE. I hate it.
But that's what the Yankees are in their PG era
now. You can't even say, like, ass or something. Is that allowed? I don't even know if that's allowed on the
Who are you excited to go? There's nobody who excites you to go watch the Yankees anymore.
Oh, I want to go to the... Yes, there is.
Who?
A-Rod.
I love A-Rod. No, wait. Go back
to
the jersey.
I hope he gets his number retired.
Well, he apologized. This was the argument. People that, you know, they jumped all over me. They got all mad at me over my... Because, you know, I'm a Yankee hater. And I had to explain to them, no, I'm not a Yankee hater. But I am, but that's not the point. My point is, he admitted to cheating.
Right.
He cheated.
Several times he's admitted to cheating.
Okay. Andy Pettit cheated.
Yeah.
And... Oh, well, he's a good guy. How do you know he's a good guy? You ever hang out with him? You didn't hang out with him. He cheated, though. Just like everybody else who cheated the game.
I think he goes to church.
Everybody else who cheated the game, no Hall of Fame, no this, no that. They're persona non grata, right?
But
what does Andy Pettit do? Don't tell me his best friend, Roger Clemens, didn't influence him on using those PEDs.
Of course
you
not.
You know he did. He extended his career. It helped him rehab the elbow injury. And he goes on to have a nice career. Not a Hall of Fame career, a nice career. Either way, he cheated. And then people were getting on my case. Well, he only did it once. So
how do
now,
you know that, first off?
First off. And secondly, we're now quantifying the cheating. What,
right.
Now we've decided
but
what
all,
it is. If you cheat less than 5 times, it's acceptable.
It's all perception because, like David Ortiz is a nice guy. No, like, he was linked, like, he had his name kind of linked to that stuff, and it kind of just...
Andy Pettit wasn't even linked.
Away.
Andy Pettit's name was in the Mitchell report.
No, but it was, he had to testify for Clemens, though, I think, so he had to go under oath.
But his name was in the report.
Right. There's a lot of names in that report that we don't know.
But his came out.
Right. I think they should all come out.
At this point, to me, so, but, and then the argument was, well, he apologized.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
so did A-Rod.
Now A-Rod did.
So he's good now.
He's good. Retire that number.
I think A-Rod is the man. I love A-Rod. I would love to hang out with A-Rod. But what people don't understand, though, about A-Rod, and they kind of stub their nose at, like, he does work to be the best, though. He does love the game of baseball. He also loves himself, but he does love baseball.
He loves himself more.
But he loves baseball. But he loves the idea of wanting to be the best player ever. Now, on the radio in, I was listening to a radio show on the way in. It was Rick DiPietro. Who I like on the radio.
He's a former Islander.
And he said something to the effect that when he was playing, like, if somebody offered him a pill and said it would make you the best player and it would take 10 years off their life,
he would do it.
He says guys would do it. Like, he understands why these guys do these
absolutely.
Things.
But here's the thing with A-Rod. I'm not even – it's not even that he cheated. It was the circus. The loss,
the whole
circus.
Guy's whole life is a circus.
It really is.
Look at all the relationships, his marriage. You know, he's just a
trainwreck of a human being.
Yes,
He's a self-created train wreck.
He doesn't
There's
know
no
what
other
he's
way
doing.
To say it.
He doesn't know. He surrounds himself with the worst people. He just makes bad decisions.
I don't think he's ever had somebody in his life say no.
Probably not. Who says no to A-Rod?
I would. A-Rod, if you're listening,
say
you
right
are
now.
Invited.
You say that
you are
right
invited
now.
To Draft Smash
no
Studios
way.
Right now, Alex. Come through when the team's back up in the Bronx. Come through. We'll do a little show.
All right. Well, there was a thing on. I
would you
which
be
late
able to
show.
Interview Alex Rodriguez objectively, or would you just want to like rub oil on his shoulders and hang out with him?
Well,
you'd want to rub oil all over that man.
But they did a thing like you just said though on a late night show. I forget what show it was. About you know, tell Robbie Cano what you really think, and it was a cutout of Robbie Cano,
mm-hmm.
and then he came out from behind it. So all these people were talking smack to this cut, you know, cut out of him. Then when he came out, they all like gave him a hug and shook his hand. Hey, Robbie, we, you know. So I'm saying, like, I would love to meet these guys, like A-Rod, and just sit down with him for 5 minutes, and then I think I would have a better understanding of what goes on in that man's head. I wish he would hire me and say, Eric, is this a good decision?
That's all he needs,
and I would, for, you know, whatever,
and
a nice little salary.
And he won't fire you for
no,
being honest.
No, listen, do you think this is a good idea? Should I, you know, in my comeback trail, you know, should I link up with a former PED user for my hitting, you know?
Yeah, back.
Yeah. Should I link up possibly with this? Alex, you've been playing baseball for 25, 30 years. Barry Bonds, probably not the best character to get involved with. You know what? You're probably right about that. And we could have a conversation from there. You know, there's a million guys you could ask about hitting. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's probably not where you want to go, being that you're trying to, you know, separate yourself from the, you know, several PED linkages.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
Well played. He just, he's never had to be like, God, he's just been a god since he's been, like, probably, like, eight.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you live, yeah, I mean, so it's A-Rod, you know? He's been A-Rod forever.
But, okay, go back to the original conversation.
Love A-Rod.
Real quick, do you feel the retirement of the jerseys in
right.
Yankee Stadium is losing some of its luster, some of its prestige?
Right.
Because of all the numbers being retired. You know what I'm
yes.
saying?
Yes.
Right? If you,
yes.
If, yeah,
I get it.
The
yeah.
more things happen, the less interesting it becomes.
Right. Personally, like, now you retire, like, a guy like Pettit's numbers. You know,
Bernie Williams.
And Bernie was he's a good Yankee, but, like you said, though, now they have the same treatment as DiMaggio and Ruth and all those other guys. It's not the same. They're not the same. It's not the same aura. It's different. You've got now first ballot Hall of Famers with guys who aren't going to be in the Hall of Fame. So has Monument Park just become – it's just like, oh, these were great Yankees. Not necessarily great, great, great all-time players. Now it's just great Yankees. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
I agree. Here are the
I understand what
them.
You're saying. Like, it's
Billy
it's
Martin,
taken back.
Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Bill Dickey, Roger Maris, Phil Rizzuto, Thurman Munson, Whitey Ford. Andy Pettit is not Whitey Ford.
No, not even close.
Okay. Jorge Posada is not Thurman Munson.
And not Yogi Berra either.
Or Yogi Berra. Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, Joe D, Lou Gehrig. Baby, listen, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I'm smart enough. These are legendary baseball icons.
It's like if you could have dinner with one Yankee legend, who would it be?
It wouldn't be Bernie Williams or Jorge Posada.
That's the thing. Those wouldn't even come to mind. Probably.
No. You know, you've got – okay, then you've got Mattingly. I'm sorry. Mattingly's a good ball player. Not worthy of having a number retired.
He played for some really bad teams, though, man.
Elston
Howard. He had injuries.
Casey Stengel. Okay, Jackie Robinson, every team. Reggie Jackson. I heard an interesting argument about Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson shouldn't have his number retired. He only played for the Yankees for 5 seasons.
I was going to say, what did he play, 5 years?
5 years.
Yankees?
Ron Guidry.
But he did hit that, you know,
yes.
months. I mean.
Okay. You know, at least Reggie Jackson's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he was a hired gun near the end. He played on a boatload of teams. Ron Guidry. To me, It's watered down.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, they played on championship
teams. It should have just been Jeter from that team.
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Jeter should have his number.
Roger Maris,
have his
Thurman
day.
Munson, absolutely. You know, Mantle, Derek Jeter, yes.
Bernie Williams,
out of all those
Posada,
guys, he's the only Hall of Famer. Out of all
Bernie,
those guys.
Bernie, Jorge, and Andy Pettit, stop.
I really think part of the stipulation, almost for getting in, should be that you are a Hall of Famer. To have your number retired, I mean, that's like the ultimate. You know, nobody else can wear my number ever again in a Yankee uniform. I don't know. I agree with you that it's a bit watered down.
Next.
Just because these are the guys I grew up with. You know, they're my Mickey Mantles and Joe D's and all that stuff because these are the guys I grew up with. I watched them play. I mean, I've watched tape of the old guys, you know, of the old-timers. I've never actually seen them, you know, live or anything like that. So I can understand why people get in a hissy fit about it, but they're not on the same level as those guys.
They're not. Now,
those guys were, like, Mickey Mantle was mythical.
Yes. That's my point. Babe Ruth is...
Like, Babe Ruth was, like, these guys were like myths almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that guy really existed?
Now, here's the counterpoint, and I'm not saying the Mets do things right. I'm not that foolish either. Here's who's number.
I mean,
they made a whole.
No, nothing against Jackie Robinson, but he didn't even play for them, and they made that whole.
Yes, and they made that rotunda. They honored the history of
yes.
of National League Baseball.
But they could have. Yeah,
but
all
here's
right.
Mets retired numbers. Tom Seaver.
He's pretty good.
Gil Hodges.
He was good.
And Casey Stengel, whose number's actually been retired by both.
Okay.
The Mets and the Yankees, and that's it. Now.
Very exclusive.
Gary Carter's a Hall of Famer. Mets and Expos. His number, not retired. Based on the Yankee criteria of good players from great teams, I could say Keith Hernandez.
Oof.
I could say Daryl Strawberry. I could say Doc Gooden.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
I could say Mookie Wilson.
See, now it's interesting.
These are all great players from that 86 championship,
right.
88 NLCS team. Very good players. No denying that. But to me, if they told me they were retiring Keith Hernandez's jersey, I'd be like, no.
So, yeah. So what's to say, like, now, like, a guy like David Wells, who pitched really great for the Yankees during that era and threw a perfect game, why isn't his number? Like, he's, to me, like, David Wells and David Cone, all those guys are, like, they're, like, the same as those guys.
The argument I've heard is, well, they weren't lifetime Yankees.
So what?
That the guys they retired
so
are lifetime.
Neither was Reggie Jackson.
Neither was Reggie Jackson.
He wasn't a lifetime Yankee. So, like, you know, that whole argument shot just from that one example. He only played 5 years for the Yankees. So,
see, and we'll wrap up this conversation because we've got plenty of fantasy baseball to talk about.
Right.
But a retired number is a prestigious honor.
Right. It's lost a little luster with these guys.
If I'm a Yankee fan, to me, it loses luster.
They put mortals in with immortals.
That, you said it.
Boom!
Bam!
Quote that. Can I patent
quote
that?
You could patent that.
Where's the
stamp? Yankees have put mortals
I need
in
a notary.
With immortals. There you go. But that's what
they
have.
They did.
They
put, mortals
in with immortals. Absolutely.
I'm writing that down so I don't forget
make
that.
That's got to be your
mortals
Twitter model.
In.
With immortals.
Yes.
Absolutely. You absolutely made that sentence there.
I might as well leave the show.
You're
that
done.
That was the epitome.
You got to pull a George
Costanza. I'm out.
All right, folks. Let's talk.
That was great.
That was.
I'm going to take a breather for a second.
That may have been
the
greatest
segment.
That may have been the greatest
I got a high five
quote
somebody.
Ever on this show. All right, Eric. Let's talk a little fantasy baseball.
Right.
Last week we talked about the American League Central. This week we talked about. 2 weeks ago we talked about the AL East. Today we wrap up our look at the teams of the American League and we take a look at the American League West. And we're going to start our conversation today with one of the more improved teams in the American League, a team that fought to the postseason end. They finished 87-75 last year, and that's the Seattle Mariners, who in my view have one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball and an improved offense. So let's take a look at it. Right now, the way it seems to be slated, they're going to go Logan Morrison at first, former Marlin, decent hitter, not an all-star by any means, but the Yankees would have retired his number if he played for them. Robinson Cano at second.
He would have had his number retired.
Yes.
He would have deserved it, though.
Possibly.
But he left, so he's done.
Yeah, he's done.
He's person number.
But he played more years than Reggie Jackson. I don't know. Okay. You have to finish it? Is that a rule?
Yeah, I'm guessing you got to finish it.
But did all those guys finish with the Yankees? That's a good question, too.
Yes.
Okay, all right, all right. So that's
Brad Miller at short.
That's the criteria.
Okay. The very underrated Kyle Seager at third. An outfield, what's going to look like Austin Jackson in center, Seth Smith, Dustin Ackley, Nelson Cruz will be the DH. Okay, Mike Zunio behind the plate. But a terrific pitching staff. Felix Hernandez. I always mispronounce it. Hisashi Awokuma, James Paxton, who we talked about.
That was good.
It was close enough, right?
Yeah.
Taiwan Walker. And then the fifth spot, Ronis Elias, J.A. Happ. They'll battle out. Probably Happ will be the fifth starter to start the season. Rodney in the bullpen to close things out. Eric, when you look at the team, let's look at the offensive side first.
Mm-hmm.
Who, to me, is a fantasy baseball staple, a guy you draft and you know day one he's in your lineup and you're counting on him for big numbers?
That would obviously be Robbie Cano. You know, fills basically all the categories. You know, stolen bases, he could get you maybe 10, which is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at a guy, I really like actually Kyle Seager.
Very thin position, third base.
I was just about to say, I agree. And very underrated. He's out there in Seattle. You know, may go under the radar, especially with a lot of East Coast guys who may not really pay too much attention to the Seattle Mariners. But he's a good ball player. You know, he could easily hit 20 home runs.
Four seasons in the bigs, not to cut you off.
No,
his average has gone up every year.
Yep.
258, 259, 260, 268.
If anything, it's consistent.
At the very
least. There's no spikes, there's no valleys. It's very consistent.
Three seasons of over 20 home runs. His career high last year of 25. RBIs, he's had over 80 twice. He's had over 90 once. He gives you 5 to 10 stolen bases. He plays every day.
Yes.
I agree. Kyle Seager,
very
to me, he's
player.
In that second tier of third baseman. He's after the Donaldson, Rendon, and Adrian Beltre.
Right.
He's in that second tier
at
the top
of it. But if you catch
him
on that upswing where you could get him later, now all of a sudden he's putting up the same numbers as those other guys, eventually he might do that. Maybe this will be the year he does that.
A year from now.
Fifth year in the pros, right?
Fifth
year?
This could be the year he's a tier one guy.
You never know. I love getting those guys right before everybody knows that they exist. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
I got this guy, I knew it, and then boom.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly at a very thin position, he is definitely worth a look. And you might be able to sneak him in a little bit later than people, maybe paying attention.
You hope people draft the name. Maybe they draft
David Wright. I would take him over David
Wright.
Absolutely.
Maybe they draft Evan Longoria.
Right.
Before, and you're able to slide. But he's also the guy where if you want him, you've got to grab him.
Yes.
If it's round four and you're after round four, you're 15 spots away from your
next
pick.
You might have to take him.
You may have to take him to four because he ain't going to be there at five. Nelson Cruz, obviously the power numbers play. You got to have him. So it's Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle.
Middle
Siegel.
Of the lineup. Yeah.
Right. What about Austin Jackson? 2 years ago, everybody loved him with Detroit. Detroit dumped him to Seattle. He was a big disappointment last season.
I got his numbers here. Last year, 154 games. I mean, he played every day. Well, 71 runs, 4 home runs, 47 RBIs, 20 steals, and a .256 average.
Now, this is coming off a guy, though, with 2012, had 16 homers and a .300 batting average. 2013, 12, 49, 272.
He went down consistently.
Numbers are going the wrong way. He's 27 years old, strikes out a ton, 144 times, to only 47 walks. Not really what you want out of your leadoff hitter.
His on-base percentage also went from .377 to .337 to .308.
Are you staying away? Is he a late-round flyer thinking he returns? The ballpark in Seattle's tough.
I think he's worth a draft pick, though, because I think those numbers, the home runs I don't think are going to go up much, to be honest.
You're
looking at under 10 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look what happened to Cano numbers. So you probably under 10 home runs. But with the middle of that lineup now, if he's able to get on base, get back to, say, a .340 on base percentage, you could see his runs go up from 71 runs back to 100 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to put you on the board 15 to 20 steals. So can you live with it? If he gets that OBP up and the batting average up a couple points, I think he's definitely worth a late-round draft pick.
Worth it. I agree. And really, for me, Seth Smith could be a late-round flyer. Maybe Dustin Ackley, Eric's commenting as we got WrestleMania 5 on in the background.
I mean,
if you hear him whispering awful right now, that's whispering awful.
This was pre-attitude, Eric.
Yeah. Dustin Ackley, Brad Miller, these are all guys maybe you keep an eye on the waiver wire. Pitching-wise, there's four guys on the starting staff that I want. I want Felix Hernandez by round 2, Awukama, James Paxton, we talked about him, and I want the young kid Taiwan Walker. Phenom had some injury issues last year. He's still only 22 years old. I saw on some Facebook page, people were asking if they should give up on this kid. The kid's 22. You don't give up on a 22-year-old
who throws 95 miles an hour.
Yeah, you just don't do
that. Throw him away.
And if he's sitting there late, now I'm not saying grab him early because he's going to have his lumps in his first full season, but if he's there late, you grab him, you ride with it, and he's going to give you numbers. Fernando Rodney, cheap source of saves late in the draft.
40-something saves last year?
Yeah, very cheap source. You grab him late, he's going to do what he needs to do, and you'll be all
set. Because they're going to win a bunch of games this year.
They should
be
a good team. This team should win 90 games and contend for the division. All right, Eric, let's move along now. Go over to last year's division winner, the Los Angeles Angels.
Click.
Obviously, Mike Trout, first pick in the draft, probably the best player in the game. We know his talent there. All right, there's a lot of guys here you're going to draft. You're going to draft Albert Pujols to be your first baseman. For all the complaints about Albert Pujols, and he suffered from that foot injury for a few years, well, he came back last year and had a nice little season.
Right.
He went 28 homers, 105 RBIs, 272.
How about 5 stolen bases?
His foot was healthy. He was running, baby. So, I like Pujols.
He played 159 games last year. It probably includes some at the end, but he played 159 games, 633 at-bats.
It's a full season,
yeah,
which is really what you were looking for. Now, Eric, what about the Cole Calhoun, their leadoff hitter?
Mm.
Last season he had a nice season. Where are you drafting him to be? Is he a second outfielder, a third outfielder? What are your views on Calhoun?
Very small sample space, right? The most games he's played in the season was last year at 127 games. But his numbers for those 127 games were ridiculous. You know, 272 average, which was above the league average.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was around 260. You know, 17 homers, 58 RBIs, 90 runs scored. It's impressive. I like that the batting, you know, his on-base percentage was .325, 38 walks. Did strike out 104 times, and no one really cares about strikeouts anymore in baseball. It's tough for me with such a small sample space where to take him. I'm probably looking at him as an outfielder 3. Just on the sample space. I mean, he could be one of those rising stars, though, in that lineup, you know, with Mike Trout hitting behind him. You don't want to pitch around him. Not that they would pitch around him, but they're going to give him some – they're going to go after him because they don't want people on base for Trout.
Right. They're going to have to go after him.
So,
you got Trout. You got Pujols. Who knows what you're going to have with Josh Hamilton. Interesting note, Josh Hamilton undrafted in our mock draft the other day. 23-12.
But he was going for shoulder surgery.
So he's going to be out for a while. To me, Josh Hamilton is not draftable. It maybe if you have an injured reserve spot in your lineup, you draft.
I would only take him if I had a DL spot.
If you have a DL,
I would have drafted him in round 23, where I drafted Ryan Howard, plugged him on the DL, and then picked up Ryan Howard.
Yeah, that's about it. You know, David Freese, he's an AL-only third baseman. CJ Cron, their DH, he's going to kind of platoon with the veteran Matt Joyce there at DH, although Joyce will probably play outfield while Hamilton is out. Cron, young hitter, power, had a couple of bombs last year when he came up, was hot. He's somebody to keep an eye on as off the waiver wire. He had 11 homers and 242 at-bats last year.
Mm.
Not terrible. I'm not saying draft him. I'm saying just keep an eye on him on the waiver wire there.
Yeah, I got you. And then I don't know if you mentioned catcher, but it's not even worth mentioning.
Chris Iannetta, AL-only catcher. Starting staff, Jared Weave is the ace. C.J. Wilson, I am not a C.J. Wilson guy. Walks too many batters. His whip is always very high. Garrett Richards, he's already started throwing. Now, he tore that tendon in his knee. His knee was a mess, but... going to be interesting when he gets back on the hill. He had a terrific year last year.
He's a good pitcher. So
Matt Shoemaker. And then the interesting one, this is my flyer, Andrew Haney.
Mm.
Got traded twice this offseason. Marlins to the Dodgers.
All over the place.
Dodgers to the A's. He was traded. And he was traded for D. Gordon. Then he was traded for Howie Kendrick.
Mm.
Andrew Haney's going to slot in into the fifth spot of this Angel lineup, a rotation, on a team that could score runs and win. throws 90 miles an hour. Andrew Haney is a good pitcher. I like him late. I'm willing to draft him after round 15, maybe even after round 20. Take a flyer on him late because the upside is tremendous. Dynasty League, Keeper League, Andrew Haney should already be owned, but I like Haney. I'm not crazy about the pitches. Weaver, Wilson,
yeah, and the pitcher,
later.
The pitching staff doesn't excite
me. Garrett Richards, the number one guy there to own, but you got to be careful with the knee. All right, Eric, we move on now. Let's take a look, if we shall, at the Oakland A's, a team that really rebuilt itself this offseason. An entirely new team.
They are moving and grooving, those Oakland A's.
And I still think this A's team can be good. You're looking at a lineup of Ike Davis, the former Met at first, Ben Zobrist from Tampa now at second, Marcus Semien at short, Brett Lowry at third. Outfield, Greg Gentry, Josh Reddick, the veteran Coco Crisp will play center, Stephen Vogt behind the plate. Billy Butler, just over from Kansas City, he'll DH. And it's an entirely new team. It's an entirely new team.
Very different team.
Me? There is nobody on this team I have to have, but there are guys that you're going to draft late. I don't even know if anybody offensively is a top going in the first 10 rounds.
I mean, I'm looking at them, and they're probably a solid up-and-down lineup, like as a baseball team. You know, a pretty balanced lineup. You know, most guys are going to hit 10 to 15 home runs. There's no 30 home run boppers, you know, in that lineup. Fantasy-wise, like, nothing really excites me at all with this lineup.
The one guy I will make a point of trying to get late in the draft is Brett Lowry.
Yes.
Brett Lowry,
yeah.
You know, in 2012 as a 22-year-old, had 494 at-bats and hit 11 homers with 48 RBIs. Last season in 2014, and he batted 273 in 2012. Now, 2014, last season, in only 70 games, he had 12 homers and 38 RBIs. In 70 games. Now, he batted 247. On-base percentage was only 301. He's going to be play third base, but he's also got second base eligibility. Just project those numbers across a full season, and you've got 25 homers and 80 or so RBIs.
Okay.
Out of a guy who's second base eligible.
That's nice. That's real nice.
Now, the Oakland ballpark may take some of that power away, so maybe you don't get 25.
Right.
Maybe you get 18 to 20 home runs. Nonetheless, it's a thin third base position, and he's second base eligible. You tell me I could get 18 homers and 75 RBIs out of my second baseman with a 250 batting average.
You sign up for it
I'll sign up for that.
Right. Yeah, I guess he'd be the only, you know, I mean, I have no interest, honestly, in Coco Crisp or, you know.
Any hope in Ike Davis returning to his 30 home run form?
No.
Josh Reddick has hit 30 home runs.
I wouldn't
in the
touch
past.
Ike Davis, ever.
What about Josh Reddick, who has hit 30 homers in the past?
He's projected to put up in the mid-teens. That means he would double it. Double his projections. I guess it could happen. I don't see it happening.
Okay, let's take a look at the starting
really
staff.
Don't.
Sonny Gray is the ace. We talked about him. We both like him a lot.
I like him. Good pitcher.
Can Scott Kazmir repeat his season of last year? I drafted him late in a few drafts last year. He's only 31 years old.
Yeah.
Last season, he went 15-9 with a 3.55 ERA. His WHIP was only 1.16. Struck out 164 batters in 190 innings. Made 32 starts. This is a guy who was terrible in 2009, terrible in 2010, out of baseball in 2011. 2013 pitched okay for Cleveland. Had a terrific season last year. He's going to get drafted.
I think he's drafted too high.
Where are you slotting him? Is he a starting pitcher 3, a starting pitcher 4? Where do you see him on your fantasy roster?
My first thought was starting pitcher 4. Because no matter what he did last year, it still terrifies me that for like a 3-year stretch, like he was, you know, just a disaster. It just makes me, like, there's so many hesitations I have with drafting Scott Kazmir. He'd have to be either my 4 or my 5 starter. I just don't put enough faith in that left arm. I know you said he's only 31, but that's an old 31. To me, I mean, I'm not drafting him, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at other guys who I think have more upside than he is. And I could be completely wrong. I mean, maybe it'll be comparable to last year, but I think it won't be better than last year.
Okay.
I think it won't be better, and I'm going to stick with that.
I think he gives you a sub-4 ERA. He may not give you the wins total, but if he gives you 12 wins and an ERA of about 3.5, he's a useful fantasy pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse Chavez, career reliever, had a nice year last year, not too interested. Drew Pomeranz, former Rocky phenom. He was decent in spurts last year. He could be useful. Jesse Hahn, who Oakland got from San Diego, he was very good for the Padres last year. He could be a sleeper as their fifth starter. And then injured returning some point this year, A.J. Griffin, Jared Parker. Closer situation is going to be interesting. Sean Doolittle was lights out last year. He's got a slight tear of the rotator cuff, though, so who knows when he's going to return. Oakland picked up Tyler Clippard from the Nationals. Clippard's probably going to be the closer opening day.
Mm-hmm.
The shoulder scares me. I'm staying away from Doolittle. Take a flyer on Tyler Clippard. He should be able to handle that job. He's done it in the past.
Former Yankee.
Who they gave up on way too soon.
Yes.
All right. But his retired. His number will be retired.
He's got to come back. Okay. Just a note on Scott Kazmir, though. And I wanted to look this up because I thought I remembered it correctly. His ERA just basically skyrocketed the second half of the season last year.
It was. He was not nearly as effective.
He wasn't good. He got to 9, I'm just saying, to me, his second half of the season, I think, is a better indication.
What were his second half numbers? What was his ERA?
I don't have it. All I know is his ERA basically from, let's say, when's the All-Star break? Late July? Is that right?
Beginning of July, mid-July.
Okay, so say July 10th, we'll call the All-Star break, right? His ERA, he was 11-3 with a 2.38 ERA. He finished the year after that with a 4-6 record and an ERA that went up to 3.55.
Right.
So you're probably talking about close to probably a 4.5 ERA in the second half of the season. And I that's why I have big reserves in drafting Scott Kazmir. Maybe a guy to have good in the first half and sell before the second half of the season.
Sell before the arm goes.
So you know what I'm saying? He's pitching well. I'm going to sell him. And possibly, sell him for a Paxton that somebody was trying to get in the draft. You understand? Who maybe isn't pitching great, who we have more faith in the second half. Something like that. I don't know. But I'm just projecting. But I didn't like his second half of the year and all his other past history with baseball. I don't know. Just a lot of red flags to me about Scott Kazmir.
Fair. Definitely a fair point. Interesting dilemma there. And I like your idea. Drafting him, riding him as long as you can, and based on last year's track record, sell while he's hot. Don't wait for him to cool off. All right, Eric, the Texas Rangers, and then we'll go to the Houston Astros, and we'll wrap up for the night. Rangers are an interesting team. A lot of guys coming back from injuries. You got Prince Fielder at first, Ruffnick Odor at second, young kid. Jerickson Profar will start the season in the minors. You've got Elvis Andrews at short, Adrian Beltre at third, and in an outfield of Leonis Martin, Jake Zmolinski, and they're also returning from injuries, Shin-Soo Chu. Robinson Chirinos behind the plate. I want to talk about Adrian Beltre. We know who he is. He's a Hall of Famer. He'll go second or third round. You could debate whether you like him or Josh Donaldson as the first third baseman off the board. That's fine. Elvis Andrews at a thin position. Elvis Andrews is a starting fantasy shortstop. He's going to give you 20 to 30 stolen bases. My question to you is this. On two players coming back from injury, Prince Fielder, Shin-Soo Chu. Fielder was a first-round pick not too long ago.
Mm.
Chu was probably a second-round pick because he gave you the 20 homers in the 20
field. Every category, right.
Your thoughts on whoever you want to talk about first.
Where did Prince Fielder go in our mock draft? He went pretty high, right? And he went fourth?
Fourth round, I think. Yeah, fourth or fifth.
Which I think is fair for him. I think there's a lot of upside to Prince Fielder, especially hitting down there in Texas.
Neck surgery.
You're basically saying, all right, he took a year to try and get himself healthy and get right. There's got to be some of that 30 home run power still left in him. This guy's still, he's still a power hitter.
31 years old.
I mean, it can't all be gone. Hitting in the nice warm weather down there, got his body right. I'm more interested in Prince Fielder than I am Shin-Soo Chu.
I mean, you talk about consistency, right?
I'm more interested in him. I'm just saying.
From 2006 till 2013, the lowest home run total Prince Fielder ever had was 25.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Can't all
be gone.
And
that was in 2013. His lowest one in 2006 at 22 years old, he had 81 home runs. In 2010, he had 83. Every
mm-hmm.
other year, six seasons of over 100. And he's not a pure slugger. In 2013, he had 279. 2012, he had 313. 2011, he had 299. 2009, he had 2009. This isn't the guy hitting 240. This
right.
isn't Pedro Alvarez.
Right. He's more than just the power. You know, he's
last season was a miserable year. The neck surgery.
It's a miserable year for the Rangers in general. Also,
true.
They also said, you know, oof, just throw this year away. I mean, that was a really bad year for them. So,
Does the neck scare you away?
Nah, maybe in other sports.
I mean, Peyton Manning came back from four of them.
I know. So the neck doesn't scare me.
If you draft Prince Fielder, what are you home run RBIs wise? What are you penciling him in for?
I'm gonna go with the low end and put it at 25.
25
that's
to 90.
25 and 85 to 90. So I think I think that's the low end for him.
Mm-hmm.
85 and 25. I think that's the low end, and I think he's got a lot of upside, and he could bat easily 270, 280, easy. I think it's there for him. I think he's going to be a steal of most drafts.
He's going to bat third in the lineup, it looks like. So you're going to have Chu, you're going to have Andrews, you're going to have him, and then you're going to have Beltre in the fourth spot. It's a nice spot for Fielder to be in. Now, what about Shin-Soo Chu, right?
Nothing excites me lately about him.
This is a guy who, when he was with Cleveland, 2009, 20 homers, 21 steals. 2010 for Cleveland, 22 homers, 22 steals. Both years he hit 300, 86, 90 RBIs, right? 2012, Cleveland, 16 homers, 21 steals, 283. Goes to Cincinnati in 2013. 21 homers, that's leadoff. 21 homers, 20 steals, 285. An on-base percentage of 423 is on base all the time. He walks 112 times.
107 runs scored.
I mean, just ridiculous. Ridiculous numbers. Okay, now he goes last year to Texas. 455 at-bats, only 58 runs scored. 13 homers, only 3 stolen bases, and a 242 batting average. Strikes out. Here's what's scary. Listen to this. In 2013, in 569 at-bats, he struck out 133 times.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, in about 115 less at-bats, he struck out 131. 115 less at-bats, only 2 less strikeouts. That's absurd.
If you look at his career, I'm looking at the strikeouts. I mean, 1 year is 151, next year 118. It's a bit all over the place. He's a bit all over the place statistically in the last couple of years. I think he is a much bigger wild card than Prince Fielder is. And to be honest, I don't know if he could steal 20 bases anymore. Yeah, you know, he's not as
he's
young
be
as he used to be.
He's
32
years old, yeah.
He's got a lot of wear and tear on his legs. I'm not spending a high draft pick on Shin-Soo Chu. Maybe an outfielder 3 for me.
I'm not even drafting him as a starter.
I'm saying like at best an outfield, at best.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy who used to be, you know, number one outfielder.
Second round pick, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Texas pitching, Yu Darvish, you know what you're getting with him. He had a boatload of strikeouts. You should get a few wins. Derek Holland coming back from injury, he should be effective. Yovani Gallardo as well. I like them. Gallardo no longer the ace of the Milwaukee staff. I like him actually better as a third starter in Texas.
I think he was a third starter in Milwaukee, too. He just happened to start opening day.
That's true. Neftali Feliz, he'll do the closing. Another reason not to chase saves early. You can pick him up late and give you 25 to 30 saves. All right, Eric, final team before we sign off. We'll go a little bit past the hour tonight. The Houston Astros, a team clearly on the rise. I don't think there's any denying that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young talent all over the place. You know, they've added a few pieces as well. They traded away Dexter Fowler. They brought in Colby Rasmus to play center field. They brought in Evan Gattis, former catcher of the Atlanta Braves. He's going to DH and play some outfield. Right now,
Don't forget they're an American League team.
Yeah.
I do.
First base, you're going to have the young kid, John Singleton. You're going to have Chris Carter platooning there. Carter will do some DH. You got a lot of moving parts. Altuve at second. Jed Lowry, the veteran at short. He'll play short until the young kid Correa ready to go. Third base, you're going to have Luis Valbuena, Dominguez at third, Jason Castro behind the plate. Outfield, like we said, Chris Carter can play the outfield, Gattis can play the outfield, Colby Rasmus will play center field. There is actually a lot of power on this team. Now, we know Altuve, he's a second-round pick, 300 average, 40 stolen bases. The guy's a terrific, terrific player. Gattis, does his value go up in drafts because he'll be catcher eligible but not playing catcher?
Mm.
Meaning a normal catcher catches 5 days games a week, maybe. 4 or 5 games
plays
a week.
Plays 135 games.
Probably. Evan Gattis at the outfield, the DH position, now could give you 150,
plus.
Maybe 155, but still be your catcher eligible guy. Does that bump him up your catcher rankings?
That excites me that he is catcher eligible. And he's hitting in a good lineup, to be honest. He's got protection around him. He's got a guy behind him named Chris Carter who's not going to hit for a whole heck of a lot of average, but he'll bop the ball out of the park, and so will George Springer. So you've got guys in that lineup where he's protected basically by two hitters behind him who can hit. I like him. I like him a lot, and it's another thing is probably with the catching position, by the end of the year, his numbers will be, you know, big gap between him and Posey by the end of the year, numbers-wise.
I don't know if the batting average will be there, but
I'm saying, like, in every other category.
25 to 30 home runs.
In every other category besides
average. Yeah, 25 to 30 homers has to be expected.
So I'm willing to take him later than take a guy like Posey much earlier.
I agree.
If that makes sense.
Chris Carter, the
we have very similar draft strategies, which I don't really particularly care for if I'm going to draft with you, because I feel like we're fighting over the same players.
Chris Carter, great source of power, 30 home run guy, 90 RBI. He's only going to hit 220, 230. Springer, the young kid, second year guy, showed the power last year. The power was outrageous. He can run as well. The question with George Springer will be, is he a 230 hitter or a 250, 260 hitter? Kobe Rasmus, I'm not interested in drafting him, but again, a cheap source of power if need be. Problem with all these guys, they're all going to strike out a ton. Mm-hmm. Houston Astros are going to have games where they're going to put up 10 runs and everybody's going deep, but then I think they have an equal chance of getting no hit every now and then, especially if Altuve takes a day off, because they'll all strike out, go 0-for-4 with three strikeouts. Starting staff, Dallas Kuchel is it. We talked about him. He was drafted in the 23rd round of our mock.
He probably should have went higher than that.
Feldman, McHugh, the other guys, I'm not very interested in much of their starting staff. They barely cracked 90 miles an hour. Not a high swinging strike rate. No superstars there. Solid at best. You know, young kids like Mark Appel, former first-round pick, Carlos Correa, the shortstop, their future lies with those guys. They'll be up soon enough. Very good ball players. Bullpen, interesting to see how the closer situation shakes out. They've added some good pieces, guys who were good middle relievers in the past. Luke Gregerson with the Padres, Pat Neshek of the Cardinals. One of them is going to close. Maybe Chad Quall's in the mix as well. So that's going to be interesting to see how the closer situation shakes. Like you said, Astros, if you need the power late, the guys are there. Somebody's going to take George Springer, to me, too early, especially if he only is going to be a 230, 240 hitter. But somebody will draft him in the fourth round. Not something I would do. The average is too low. Think about it. George Springer, 30 homers, 240 batting average in round 4. Pedro Alvarez, 25 homers, 230 batting average in round 20.
Paying for a name there
a little bit. Yeah, paying for the young kid, the supposed phenom, in my view, on that.
All right,
Eric. We are over our time. It's actually
2 minutes over.
That's not bad.
I thought it would be more because they derailed us a little bit.
That was a lot
bit.
Of fun, though.
But I do have Kazmir's split.
Let's
by
hear,
the way,
before we sign off,
just so we're all aware, in August he had a 7.8 ERA, a 2-4 record. At September, a 4.35 ERA. So I'm just saying, the last 2 months of the season were
that arm got tired.
We're brutal. So he went 3-6 to finish the year with probably an ERA around, you know, 6.
To wrap it up, that's a tough second half. Very tough.
Sell high, maybe, at the All-Star break.
That's it.
Or May or something.
That might be the plan. Absolutely. I agree. But, all right, folks, we are out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening, whether live or on demand here on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes. Don't forget, you can follow us there as well, Draft Masters Radio, available on iTunes. Do me a favor. Go there, subscribe, download, and rate us the highest rating possible. I think it's 4 stars, 5 stars, whatever the highest rating. Go to that. Go to iTunes, find Draftsmashers Radio, and
don't
check it out. Don't forget to go to draftsmashers.com. Register now. The site is up and running. A few little tweaks still have to come down the pike, but we are up and running. So make sure you go there and enjoy all the daily and mostly daily, but some weekly information there as well on draftsmashers.com. Don't forget to follow our other sponsors, Steel Scorpion Sports, rotoballer.com. Those who follow Rotoballer know I'll be back on the air with Rafael Rabe of Rotoballer doing Rotoballer Radio in about an hour. So right here on Blog Talk Radio, so you can check that out as well. We'll be talking some fantasy baseball with the guys there on Rotoballer as well. Follow us on Twitter, Draft Smash Radio. And follow both on Facebook, Eric Corsini, Anthony Aniano are the names. You can check out everything we got going on there as well. Eric and I will be back next Wednesday night, 7:30 Eastern time, as always. And we'll start talking National League. We'll start with the National League East. That should be fun. Braves, Nationals, Mets, Marlins, and the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll be talking about those teams and anything else that comes down the pike in the world of fantasy baseball. For Eric Corsini, I'm Anthony Aniano. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern time. Draft Smashers Radio, draftsmashers.com. Have a good week, everybody.